A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's do this.
Yeah, welcome to Egg Chasers Mid-Morning Coffee Edition.
Mid-morning matters. Mid-morning rugby matters.
Phone in with your calls. Mid-morning matters.
Who, rugby player and car, go. Joe Marler and Land Rover.
Do you reckon this could be, you know, we've already got Late Night with Egg Chasers. Maybe like your call with Egg Chasers. Do you know that awful slot they have on the radio between the end of breakfast and then
nine and ten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we could do. Call with Egg Chasers.
I like it. Well, no, I was thinking there is actually... one thing we need to work on. There's a
lots of things we need to work on.
Well, there's lots of things we need to work on for sure. But no, there's a voicemail service you can get online. I'd like to get people's calls in. I'll work on that. Let's not talk about that now. We've just watched the British and Irish Lions lose their first proper match on tour.
Hear me now, believe me later.
Yeah. Well, we all predicted a Blues victory. Phil got it on the nail. He predicted a 6-point Blues victory. It wasn't quite the 23-point victory you thought it would be, but the Blues did win. Disappointing for the Lions. Do we pick out the positives? Let's just get into it then. Hit that theme music, JB. Go. Well, it's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, and we're here with you. Is it actually four times a week through the Lions tour? I think it might be, you know. I'm trying to think about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, four times a week through the Lions tour with post-match quick flash updates and with proper podcasts as we normally do and extra ones as well. This is one of those immediate post-match reaction podcasts. Phil is at work surveying quantities of various things.
Counting bricks, that's what he does.
Counting bricks. JB somehow managed to get the morning.
Don't ask where I'm meant to be or what I'm meant to be doing.
And I work nights, so it's all good anyway.
There we go.
So we've just watched 22-16. The Lions were beaten. What are your takeaways from this, JB?
Well, first thing you need to remember is this isn't like a normal match. This isn't like, do you know when you watch a Premiership, all the Six Nations, all the Test matches, all those matches are fundamentally about results. You can give the Lions some leeway here, which and say it isn't about the result, it's about the performance, which makes me even more upset. So, it's a real mixed bag. This Blues team, in my opinion, were playing very, almost Northern Hemisphere-like rugby for the majority of the game. Mm. So if I said to you, look, there is a team in New Zealand, for some reason they prefer playing this kind of Northern Hemisphere-like game, and guess what, lads? It's going to be raining. And you're going to win loads of scrum penalties.
Yep.
And you're going to have a catch and drive in the corner in the last 5 seconds. No, yep. after time has expired. You'd probably take that as a Lions fan.
Completely. Completely agree.
So... yeah, this is so difficult to dissect. The Lions were vastly improved from the Barbarians game. Now, for the Barbarians game, they could literally have been a Barbarians team themselves. They were pulled together. We've been over this lots and lots and lots, but basically, they looked completely out of sorts. I would say, at least in this game, they'd pulled together their defence. There's a little bit more defensive structure. As for the attack, I can't see anything which they're trying to... I can't see what they're trying to achieve. Can you?
No, I completely agree. Two games against, or at least on paper, the two weakest sides that they're going to play. And that on the strength that Auckland Blues were the lowest ranked team in Super Rugby. Whether as we get close to the test, the other sides put out strong sides, we'll wait and see. However, on paper, the two weakest sides they've played, and they managed in 160 minutes of rugby to score 29 points. I don't think scoring 29 points against New Zealand in one game will be enough to win you a match.
God,
so,
no.
So defence, that's a given. It's got to be tip-top, but attack. But the good news is, JB, the thing is, right, before we get down on the attack, it's all right, Rob Howley's in charge of that.
Oh, they'll fix it tomorrow, probably.
Yeah, he's got that covered. Oh, man.
The only plus side I can see of having Rob Howley as attack coach is that his attack is so basic, people can learn it quickly. That's the only real advantage I can see.
I've got a book here, a book that's in the rugby dungeon called The British and Irish Lions on This Day. History, facts and figures from every day of the year.
Genuinely one of my favourite books.
Yeah, this was Saturday the 7th of June, so today's date, but in 1997. And it talks about the final game before the first test in South Africa, and the Lions won 35-30 because of some magic, the combined magic of Gregor Townsend and Jeremy Guscott. There was no magic on that field today. No magic.
There wasn't. I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, you know, back in the day, the Gregor Townsend, Jeremy Guscott days, you could have one talented player who could just bamboozle someone with a couple of demis and all the rest of it. In my mind, the Lions' biggest problem should be one of their strengths, which is they couldn't get over the game line. And if you can't get over the game line, you can have these really good halfbacks like Reece Webb and later on Johnny Sexton. But if they're getting rubbish ball, and I think they are, just what's the point? And the commentators were talking about the Lions opening up. Going side to side on a field isn't opening up. Where is all the smart play? Where is the box kicking? Where is the territory kicking? Where is the kick and chase? Where is all the basic shit, the basic stuff that you need in order to play rugby? Well, it didn't exist.
Well, let's take that, right, so on that, so the set piece was better, albeit let's forget about the last couple of lineouts.
The scrum was great.
The scrum was good. The driving maul was effective. And in the first half, you saw what happened when, from the first game to the second, you had some halfbacks that were going to just try and dominate territorially. So with some Reece Webb, who's not known for his kicking, had a reasonable kicking game.
Oh, I don't know. He's all right. He's all right.
He's not known for it.
He's not Murray, is he?
No, he's not Murray. But that looked effective. But when they have to try and stretch the ball, they just... I know Robbie Henshaw looks generally ineffective, one-dimensional.
Very interesting to mention him. So he is a lovely rugby player. I like him a lot. I'm not sure if he's quite as one-dimensional as you make out, but I'll tell you this much for free. He was very frustrated. I mean, how often do you see your inside centre do little stabby through grubber kicks? I believe he did that twice today. Well, I know, I don't believe it. I know he did it twice. But I believe he did it because he was frustrated. Nothing was developing. He just saw a wall of blue.
So Dan Bigger is failed his head injury assessment, which means he'll have to stand down for a mandatory fortnight, I believe. I'm thinking you might have to call someone else up.
Yeah.
Next cab off the rank, is it Finn Russell, George Ford? Probably Finn Russell, isn't it?
Politically, it's Finn Russell. And probably Finn Russell.
Yeah, it's Finn Russell.
Now...
But Sexton came on and he had some pointless kicking.
This is interesting, isn't it? A lot of people are talking about Sexton's pointless kicking. This is very Welsh in a lot of ways, because what you tend to find with Wales is Dan Bigger puts these up and unders under, and he's amazing at it. He'll chase it, he'll catch it. I mean, Dan Bigger might be one of the best fullbacks to play 10 that there's been in a long, long time. Same with Halfpenny. You put it up and he goes chasing it. He catches it. Safe to say, it's not exactly Sexton's game, and I just wonder if he's the wrong horse for that type of strategy.
Yeah,
they just didn't do the basics well. I know at the start they looked good with territory, but I can't remember seeing a single box kick, which I think is absolutely vital.
Well, there was a couple put up that Liam Williams went for.
Oh, my. Yeah.
See, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. You say yellow, I say penalty only, but anyway, we'll...
Well, it's the repeat offence, but I'll add this to that, which is, why do you not just let the player land? I mean, obviously there's a lot of machismo about being a fullback on the wing and you want to jump up and grab that ball. But if you just let him land and batter him, I mean, that's good enough, right?
Yeah, all right.
Drive into touch. And actually... He wasn't even the Lions winger who had the worst game. That'd be Jack Noll.
Oh, I didn't think Jack Noll was that bad.
Missed 3 of 9 tackles. And he got completely outplayed by
Akira Iwani. Not Akira Iwani, Rico Iwani.
Yeah. Now I'm assuming Rico Iwani is what happens when you mix Digby Iwani with Rico Gear.
Yeah, not far off.
Yeah. He's pretty good, isn't he?
He is pretty tidy, yeah.
Bloody
pretty decent player. Money Bill Williams as well. In fact, we should just talk positives from a neutral perspective. What a way to win a match. That try, the offload from Stephen Luatua,
yes, well
was
said.
Filth. The offload from Sonny Bill Williams to follow it up, utter filth. And the gas from Ahia West, oh, electric. I mean, that sort of spark, there was not a hint of from this Lions side. And that's what I find most concerning, because as we've talked about, to beat New Zealand, as Ireland will tell you, you have to score quite a lot of points.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that the first time that the Blues go away from playing at Northern Hemisphere, one-up run, I mean, that's basically what they did.
Yeah.
They score that magnificent try.
I know.
And you think, well, how are the Crusaders going to deal with the Crusaders or the Chiefs or the Hurricanes? And the answer is, hang on, have they got the Highlanders as well?
Yeah.
Christ, when are they playing all these games?
Midweek games, and there's Saturday games for the next two weeks as well.
So it's Crusaders, then it's...
I'm not sure. I haven't got the schedule in front of me. Highlanders or Hurricanes or... Anyway.
Then it's the first test, is it?
First test is on the first...
week.
It's in 2 weeks on Saturday.
Oh, 2 weeks on Saturday. So, yeah, so there's plenty more games to go yet.
Shall I try and go through some positives that I've written down?
Yeah, go on.
And then you can sort of... So, DJ Hask actually did a ball carry. That was good. plucking the straws. All right, so here's a good one. Billy Vunipola, we know he is a big loss. But Talupe Falatello had a decent game, and CJ Stander had a decent game.
Yep.
So two solid options at eight. Maybe it's not going to be as bad. I mean, you can't replace Billy, but... those two at least seem to be on form. Courtney Laws loves ending fly halves. That tackle in the first half.
Yep, that was good.
I think you can't call yourself a fully fledged top flight fly half until you've been utterly smashed by Courtney Laws.
Is it?
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is that like kind of a stand-up comic? Call himself a stand-up comic until he's died on stage?
Exactly.
Yeah.
oh, dear. I'm struggling for positives. All I've got is... I've got some questions I want to ask you.
Yes.
So have I got this right from Stuart Barnes' commentary? Maru Itoje invented the clap. He invented hand clapping.
No, I had to have a good think about this because I did see that unique hand movement, which apparently is now called a clap. And I thought, I don't think I've seen that prior to Maru Itoje playing rugby. So Stuart Barnes might be onto something.
So Stuart Barnes said when a penalty was given for a scrum infringement or something like that, Maru Itoje started clapping. In a way, he did during the Six Nations. He clapped a decision by the referee. And Stuart Barnes said, there's Maru Itoje with his signature hand clap.
Signature. I mean, I'd love to have a signature hand clap. Don't know how I'd do it. Maybe clap with the back of my hands?
Maybe.
No idea.
Maybe my signature hand clap would be what we got forced to do at school in assemblies. So they didn't want to make it too loud. We had to clap with two fingers.
No.
Just two fingers hitting the palm, yeah.
Maybe because we're in a mad society now. We shouldn't clap at all. We should just jazz hands.
Or just click like we're in a hipster poetry recital. Yeah. Also, what have I got written down here? Yeah, Tipperick and Noel need to get different coloured scrum caps.
Yep. Not sure that's a plus point.
No, it's not a plus point. It's just a matter of business. Is Scott Quinnell's accent for real? Like, he is just uber Welsh.
Yeah, he really is, isn't he? It must be some contractual thing.
What, that he has to ham up the Welshness?
Yeah,
come on.
Really go for it.
Yeah. He's ticking a box, isn't he?
Exactly.
A diversity box. And British and Irish rugby, we saw that with the fat lads grafting and getting the line-out drive. I don't want us to look at that game and think, oh, set piece went well, that's our blueprint. We're going to have to do more than that.
Well, yeah, we are going to have to do more. I'll ask you a question.
Go on.
Do you think this Lions team lacks maturity?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, it shouldn't do because of the leadership qualities that you've got. Although I say that, maybe, yeah, you might be onto something.
So my point on this is Lions are ahead. It looks like they might actually win this thing, though. Then they win a scrum. And the carry-on about winning a scrum on your own halfway line, I was mesmerised by it. You've got high fives, you've got
Itoji's signature hand clap.
Yeah, Itoji lost control of his body for about 5 seconds. Sinclair's trying to hug him. Like, you've won a scrum, boys. You've won a scrum. You're 2 points up, and that's basically it. And then they go and lose the game. And I just can't help thinking, maybe as talented as some of these young lads are, maybe you just do need... I mean, can you imagine Alan Wynne-Jones doing that? Can you imagine Martin Johnson doing that?
No.
Ben Kay?
Next job.
Martin Corey?
Next
job. Simon Shaw?
Next job.
Yeah, exactly. Next job. And I just think... yeah, I think they just assumed they'd go into a scrum, win the penalty. But they were so busy celebrating their first job, they actually, like you say, forgot their next job.
Could Rory best have played himself out of a test jersey with one line-out throw?
Well, you know... Talk about maturity, and then the most mature guy does that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I want to try and be really positive about things. All I say is there is a massive emphasis on Saturday. They are going to get... probably Saturday is as close as you're going to get to a test match.
Until you see the Hurricanes.
Well, potentially, although I don't think the Hurricanes will put out their full side because their All Blacks won't be able to play by then.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas the Crusaders, they've said they're going to put a strong team out. So I would suggest that Saturday is going to be the toughest game that the Lions are going to face other than the actual test matches. And they're going to be putting out probably a test match type side. So I think the emphasis on Saturday is now massive. And it's more than... I mean, result, yes... We've only got to show that, but it's the we want to be able to sit here on Saturday after the game and go, right, there's the blueprint, there's the shape, there's the style.
Yes, that's exactly what I want. I want just to see that they are progressing. Now, I'm going to now be the guy who shines some sunlight on this Lions performance, and that is, I would happily take a loss against Crusaders if I could see the incremental performance we saw from the Barbarians to the Blues to the Crusaders, and if they can carry on improving like that all the way up to the tests, I think they've got a good chance.
Okay.
Because the incremental improvement actually is pretty vast.
Yeah.
I mean, that really isn't a bad improvement.
No.
The only thing to worry about, and we haven't mentioned this, is how poorly the Blues played in patches with their mistakes. They had a ton of mistakes. So we assumed, didn't we, that, you know, there was a clear try-scoring chance for Anthony Watson against the Barbarians and they butchered it. And I think you rightly said, well, the New Zealand teams will not butcher that chance. Well, the Blues did, but I don't think that the Crusaders will. I don't think the Hurricanes will. I don't think the Chiefs will, the Highlanders will, or the All Blacks will. So, you know, they could have been down by a lot more, a lot sooner. So, you know, as long as the improvement is there, I'm going to let them off and say, yes, this is why Lions Tours exist. It is still an amateur tour in the professional era. There's a ton of work to do. But if they just improve, I'll be happy.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see where we are in a few days' time. Looking ahead, some other bits of news that have been breaking. It looks like Dane Coles may well be out for the series,
mm-hmm.
which would be a shame because you want the best players on the field. But selfishly, probably quite a positive for the Lions. Although they're...
Never celebrate an injured All Black. They're like,
yeah.
What is the? I'm trying to think of those bad guys where you kill one and then two spawn up. they're kind of like that. They've probably got not one hooker in the wings, but two.
They're like the agent in the Matrix.
Yes, you kill one and then two like show up.
Yeah, exactly. Loads more show up. Tons. Yeah, they've got some ridiculous depth for strength in depth.
Yeah.
There's a funny little picture I've just seen on Twitter where someone said, who'd have thought it? Who would win? Some lions or a colour?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I don't want to keep sitting here and being down. It's all right. It's going to be okay. Saturday.
Right.
Oh, there was a couple more. All right, Joe Marler came on and took care of business, or apart from that penalty.
Joe Marler was good, yeah.
Joe Marler was good when he came on. Oh, I don't know.
What do you think the score's going to be for Crusaders?
Well, let's wait and see when the teams are actually announced.
Okay.
Let's wait and see for that and do a little preview pod, which will be coming on Thursday, right?
No, I'm a little bit busy on Thursday, Tim.
Thursday? Oh, right, yes.
Election night, I'll be on 5 Live and on some panel from 10 o'clock till 5 in the morning.
Oh, my word. Right, well, now I know where to avoid, then. I'll go Dimbleby rather than Campbell.
I tell you what, mate, you might catch me in full breakdown mode.
No, I don't think
full,
so, mate.
Utter breakdown mode. Hysteria.
Oh, imagine if you were going to have it round one way, it would be the Blues lose this match today and the Blues win the election tomorrow.
I'd take Blues winning all round, thank you. So we won't do the.
So we'll do some sort of
Crusaders.
We'll do some sort of preview podcast, potentially. But we anyway, just basically hit subscribe on iTunes and Acast, and then every episode will get delivered to you. We're on Facebook, where you can see the video of this. And thank you for listening. Leave your review on iTunes. Oh, one thing. Cornerstone have got a brand new razor.
Yes, I have one.
The brand new one, the new model.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. It is. We love it more than... Well, it's, for me, far above the competition. For you, JB?
Oh, for me, it's the smoothest shave I've ever had.
And tons of egg chasers are getting on board with this one. And the thing is, if you hear us rabbiting on about this and go... Do you know what? I'm just going to give it a go so I can see if these boys are full of hot air or not. We're not, I promise you. But there's no obligation. And it's only £4.
Mm.
Less than a pint. £4. And you could get a beautiful Cornerstone presentation box delivered straight to your house with a free engraved aluminium shaft, a new model as well, with your initials on it. And you get half a dozen razors as well, or whatever else you want to order at cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Or
Egg 10 at checkout. We need to revamp these adverts. So, do you remember those charity adverts? If you just buy two Cornerstone... That's the one. Just two Cornerstone razors could send the boys out on the beers for an hour.
That's not the point, JB. I want to share Cornerstone because they don't do big TV adverts like other brands. They don't have George North as their ambassador like other brands.
Yeah, but they have the world's biggest rugby podcast as their ambassador.
Well, exactly. And we were there right at the very start with Cornerstone. When they first started out, we were the first people they did work with. So we're very, very proud and protective.
50 sales of Cornerstone will send your favourite podcast to a rooftop bar in Barcelona.
That's not the point. That's not the point.
Cornerstone sales.
The point is about getting the best shave you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's also the best shave. But it does do other things too, which is fun.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Get involved. And by the way, on the next podcast as well, there's some amazing tour stories that are coming through while we're on the Lions tour, and there's loads of Brits going out there for a good old bender. But there's loads of people that are submitting brilliant tour stories. We've got some Raging Bull Clobber that you can win for submitting your story. Email it to contacteggchasers@gmail.com. You've got some brilliant ones to look forward to on the next podcast, trust me. Contacteggchasers@gmail.com. And look at Twitter at Rugby Podcast for a special Raging Bull discount.
Now, Tim, I know you don't want to have a production meeting in front of all the fans.
That's right, go on. Let's see how the sausage is made.
If I can set up the Skype for next week, would you be interested in doing... Because it's only a 20-minute podcast after the game. Do you fancy having people call in?
Yes.
Fans calling in?
Yes.
May as well.
Yes.
All right, let's yes. keep that on the back burner. Leave it with me.
Right. All right, so the next time... let's try and work that. So for these post-match games, we'll get your initial... You will get your immediate thoughts after a game and make them part of the show. That'd be brilliant.
Awesome.
Good shout.
Righto, I think we're done.
We are done. We will we'll see you on the next podcast. Hit subscribe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Subscribe and thank you very much for listening.
Bye-bye.